The OTL podcast is brought to you in association with STEM Recruitment Solutions. If you need help in recruiting for science, technology, engineering and maths, visit stemrecsolutions.co.uk to find out more. Dum, 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 dum.
We've done it! Brilliant, Joshua. Absolutely brilliant. We'll leave you with the highlights. It's over.
Hello and welcome to the OTL podcast with me, your host Colin Telford. Joining me on this month's show, I've got another Colin Campbell. How are you?
Yeah, I'm very well, yes. Thoroughly relaxed after my wee trip to Madeira, sitting in the sunshine. I know you complained that my face was too red. That was the alcohol.
Okay, that's good. I wouldn't want you to be putting your skin at risk, but your liver's probably a bit more resilient. Also joining me, Emma Quigley. How are you, Emma?
Yeah, I'm good. Didn't have the same relaxing New Year as Mr. Campbell there. Emma's a little bit busy with work and things like that, but I'm good, thank you.
And a teetotal Christmas as well, Emma, so that's always good.
Not quite.
And completing our trio for tonight, Sean Smith. How are you, Sean?
I'm good, thank you, Colin. If I was any colder, I'd be in Broadwood, but other than that, I'm fine.
Yeah, Broadwood might be pretty cold this evening. Right, guys, so we're just saying it off air. I don't know if this has happened before, but 100% win record since the last podcast, on which it said, two podcasts ago was a bit too demob happy. It'd come back to bite me. We looked like we're getting pulled into a relegation dogfight. Then lo and behold, you had to turn it around from halftime at Hampden to where we're sitting now. So, I mean, just throw it open to you all there. Emma, what do you think? The last three games, how's it made you feel?
So it's whiplash, isn't it, in this league? Up, down. No, it's great. I think we were all getting a little bit frustrated with some of the results we'd seen, because I think we felt like maybe hadn't quite got what we deserved in some games, and some of the performances had been a little bit ropey. And I think from memory, the first half against Queen's Park was probably up there with that kind of ropey performance. I couldn't make it. I got snowed in after buying my ticket, so I was fuming. I couldn't make it to Hampden that day, but managed to watch it on the stream anyway. So that was not too bad. But yeah, I mean, I think it's just going to kind of sum up how this league's going to go and how the rest of the season's going to go. There's going to be ups and downs, good performances, bad performances. We seem to be on a upward trajectory. We seem to be getting to grips with maybe some of the issues we probably picked out in podcasts previously, you know, some of the goals we were leaking, the midfield and front starting to play with a bit more energy like we were used to before. So hopefully we don't see too many big dips again, and we can just keep picking up the points, keep out the danger zone.
Hopefully. And Colin, you're a historian by profession, so like in terms of the looking back on the time since Hampden till now, what kind of key events, what would you have been journaling from that period? Or were you abroad for some of these? Did you manage to see
them? No, I've seen all the wins. I think that's the decisive factor that
must
I
be.
Returned. A bit like General MacArthur, I will return. If you'd asked us at half-time at Hampden, it would have been all despair and doom and quite justified, because that first half was probably the worst I've seen them play away from home. Their United game was bad, but that was far worse. So the turnaround in the second half, just the style of play, where they finally pressed against Queen's Park. Certainly they backed off and left loads of space. But that turnaround was great. And the two home games, I didn't think they were in any danger of losing or dropping any points to those two. I thought they outplayed Inverness and they outplayed Raith Rovers. So it was, Emma says, a whiplash. It was an amazing turnaround, but certainly delighted. And I think it's made us sit in a very comfortable position. As long as they keep playing the same way, with the same energy. I think the energy was the key thing in the Hampden game. I was sorry Emma missed it as she was stuck at the top of some hill. I didn't think there were any hills in Dunbartonshire, but there you are. What do I know?
I can assure you, there are hills.
Yeah, well, I haven't climbed any of them. I've missed out the Kilpatrick Hills.
I don't walk up it, I just drive.
Oh, all right.
What you touched on there is what's really pleased me, Colin. The last two performances, it's just been the controlled nature of them. They've never looked troubled really at any point. Inverness had a wee spell after Airdrie scored where you thought, oh, they're coming back into this, but then just kind of total control. And I think the way that this team at its best can play is just that. It wasn't really back to the wall in the last 10 minutes of either game. It's just really good in holding their shape, really good in possession.
Yeah.
And yeah, just controlling the game so that the pressure doesn't really come. And those have been my favourite two performances of the year. Also, my 5-year-old decided he wanted to come to a game for the first time.
Very so good.
Packed up with like headphones and a fully charged iPhone for when he got bored off it. But at home to top of the league was maybe a risky one to take him to. But it was brilliant. Like he really enjoyed it. The Raith Rovers match day footage that they put out, you can see my dad bouncing him up and down after Todorov scores. So that was a very special game for me, other than just a brilliant Airdrie performance. What have you made of it, Sean?
Yeah, I have to agree. Half time at Queen's Park, that first half was thoroughly miserable. It was frustrating as well because I didn't think Queen's Park looked like scoring apart from the penalty. So that was a frustrating aspect of that as well. I hadn't been maybe as negative as what, or as pessimistic as what some people had been going into that game. Like obviously the last podcast, I think there was a bit of concern about the three losses, and then obviously that led into a 0-0 draw with Morton, and you know, you looked online and stuff, and there was people even saying, McCabe should go and we'll get relegated and things like that. So I thought that was a bit of an overreaction at the time. But then half time the Queen's Park game, I was starting to get worried about getting sucked into that relegation mire, especially because Queen's Park, they were bottom at the time as well. But then second half played much better, and that was really encouraging. Like Colin said, like the Queen's Park defensive line, they play this, well, I don't know if they still do under Davidson, but they play this really high defensive line that's rubbish and makes mistakes. So we actually started pressing it, we changed up our style a little bit, played a bit more direct to Todorov and McGregor once he came on, and that's what made a difference. So the second half performance there, that was really encouraging. Although I think it'd be remiss also not to mention Todorov's miss as well. He definitely owes Hancock big time after that. I can laugh about it now, but I wasn't laughing at the time. But thankfully, Hancock bailed him out with the corner straight away. And yeah, since then, the two home games against Raith and Inverness, like we said, really fantastic control performances. I think, again, Todorov and Gabby McGill as well, who's probably not had as much attention as what he had last season. I think, he's not scored in the games, but I think him and Todorov, they're allowing us to play up the pitch a bit higher, and I think that is making a difference, the hard work and the pressing that Gabby's able to do. So that's definitely helped. And then again, just that bit more, a bit more variety in our play, and I think we're playing a bit quicker as well, which, and we've always said, this team, it's at its best when it's playing the football it does, but doing it quickly and playing high up the park, taking risks going forward as well. I think as well, I'm sure we'll talk about Megwa more specifically later on, but I think as well the two fullbacks have made a big have been a big part of that recent run as well, Hancock and Megwa. Hancock particularly, he's It looks like it's been a clear tactical directive for him to get forward and put crosses into the box, and that especially against Inverness, that was really making a difference. So that's obviously something that's being worked on.
I went back a lot. Sean said that my player of the really good results has been Charlie Telfer. If only for two things: wiping out an Inverness player in a great Airdrie tackle, and piggybacking the Queen's Park guy in the second half, which was maybe the funniest moment I've seen this season. I think Telfer's been really, really good.
For wiping out a Wraith player and making Dylan Easton get himself booked in the process was a highlight.
Oh, sorry, that's the Wraith player. I was thinking of, yes, that's
correct. Was that the same one?
Same one.
Actually, he managed to tackle him with his head. Like, it looked like it would have been sorer on Telfer than the Wraith player who went down injured. But as you say, Dylan Easton then lost his rag and got the same punishment that Telfer got for wiping the guy out. But I mean, he has been excellent in this recent
run. It's the petty things sometimes, isn't it?
I go to these games with the best intents. I've not really shouting at Ian Murray, but I found it pretty hard at full time not to let him know where we were there. In fact, I was sitting quite close to the bench for the second half, so I was laughing as he was thrown on four subs at once and looking about to see if he could find any more forward players to throw into the mix.
I think when you look at, for example, we were really disappointed at the Morton result, but when you look at Morton's results over the last 7-8 games, maybe that 0-0 on the day it felt terrible, but maybe it wasn't that bad. Morton might well be a forum team in terms of the top three, maybe.
Yeah, I know if you see the last six games, I'm sure they're, if they're not top, they'll not be far off it because they've been on really good form. If you take it over the last four games, though. That suddenly doesn't look as bad a result. Whereas at the watching back the Airdrie Fan TV video that came out just the other day, it was quite strange to see how low the mood was and what everybody thought after the Morton game.
Yes, there was some very negative stuff in the Somerset Park. I was in the stand sheltering, of course, but I saw a couple of guys who were less than happy in the Somerset Fan TV stuff. But it's still really good. It's a very good presentation. It's great how it captures the young guys at the game. Really good.
You know, it's sure stuff, definitely. It's excellent. It's really added to things to look forward to after a victory. Not only the highlights, but then you get the kind of crowd take on it as well. We may as well jump to, you've got us a neat segue, Sean. Canaio Omegua. So at the moment, out in Dubai, or recently returned with Hibs, with this huge question mark over, are we going to see him back in an Airdrie shirt or not? And if we don't, then he's leaving on the back of his best two performances. What have you made of him from kind of joining us as quite a raw youngster to just a few months on? He seems to have made great strides. Sean, what have you thought of Canaio's progress with us?
Yeah, and I think what you're saying there about how he's made progress and, you know, he's made strides in his performances, I think that's very true. Obviously, he came on in the home game against Ayr. It was quite early on, from what I remember, and he did struggle a little bit in that game, and that can happen with young players when you're brought on early and not ideal circumstances and whatnot. He was up against Jamie Murphy, who's obviously a really experienced and quality player as well, so he struggled in that game, but ever since then he's been terrific. I can't remember him putting a foot wrong really since then. It's been great, especially defensively. Like, he just reads the game really well. For his age as well, I'm not sure how old he is, but he must be 18, 19, 20, something like that. So considering his age and his lack of senior experience, he's a really intelligent defender, reads the game so well. He's got a good touch and a good pass on him as well, that you can see that he's got quality there that will serve him well at Hibs or wherever he ends up playing in the future. So that's great. And he's improved going forward as well. Like, he's still maybe not, you know, that's still maybe not strength, but you can see that, you know, he's willing to take more chances going forward now. You know, he's willing to get up the park, put in crosses. I think it was the Rafe game where I think he ended up on the sort of running across the pitch and you know, trying a cross from the other side, and that's not something he would have done at the start of his loan.
He maintains that was a shot.
It might have been a shot. Yeah, the execution didn't end up so well, but to actually have the confidence to even go for it and try it, you know, it shows that. Well, it shows how much his confidence and skills have developed from being here. And you can see that from his interview with the Hibs TV as well. Like, he obviously has enjoyed his time here and benefited from it. So that's great. Hopefully we'll see him again. Obviously, I don't know if we will. I was hoping that because he's already played for us in the Cup, I was hoping that might increase our chances of at least seeing him this weekend. But I don't know what will happen, but hopefully we do. Obviously, if we don't, then all the best to him. If he does get a shot at Hibs, then he deserves it based on what he's done here. Fingers crossed we'll see him again, but if not, all the best to him, because he's been an excellent player in his short spell here.
A career in communication, so you may well have been poring over everything that's come out from Hibs over the last few days that mentions him, or seeing him change where he's playing on his Instagram. Any messages that you can see coming through which means we should be positive, or do you think you think we're unlikely to see him back?
I've probably got my doubts that we'll see him back, certainly immediately. I think Hibs have got their own problems in that position. I think injuries, and I think, I can't remember the chap's name, but he's on international duty, I think, with Australia. So I think they've got their own issues there. You know, kind of just add echo what Sean said, you know, when he first came on in that game, you know, just thrown straight in. I wasn't quite sure, but he's come on leaps and bounds, and I've just been, you know, so impressed with him, and the fans have taken to him. But I'm kind of at that point now, I'm just kind of losing a bit of patience a bit with the, will he stay, will he go, is he coming back, when's he coming back? I just wish, you know, can we just get a bit of clarity on it now, to be honest. I'm getting a bit fed up with it all. Obviously, I hope he comes back, but if not, can we just find out and move on, please? I've lost patience.
Colin, for you, I mean, just look at that last performance. Dylan Easton, I hear Scottish Football Podcast talking about Dylan Easton being a player who Premier League clubs are likely to be looking at and will take a punt on if Raith Rovers don't go up, or even if they do. For somebody as young as him to keep that player quiet, I just thought was really just spoke volumes.
I think he clearly has improved game by game by game. I was a wee bit concerned that he didn't like to seem to attack, but that has developed as well, particularly since we've gone down the road of a fullback should be capable of going beyond the halfway line. So I think he's done really well there, as has Hancock. I thought it was quite funny the first time I heard one of the players shouting and calling him Kenny. I don't know whether that's because we're not very good at pronouncing African, I presume it's an African name. I'm not certain of his background, but he's a King Kenny. He's Nigerian.
I think his parents are Nigerian.
Right, okay, yeah. I studied West African history when I was at uni, so I'm a bit of an expert on Nigeria. It's 40-year-old, right enough.
Then I'll make him stay, Colin. Can we get in touch to him?
Yes, tell him.
Persuade him.
Yes, a wee chat with the Igbos and the Fulanis and, yes, the stuff of Nigeria, yeah.
But big Mason Hancock deserves credit too. So there's been loads of chat about Kanayo, but if he's got one weakness, he'd say it's crossing. As you said, Sean, the Inverness game, but if it was tactical, somebody should maybe have told the two guys playing centre forward that those balls were going to come in. But it won the game for us against Wraith, a quality delivery and some brilliant centre forward play by Todorov. So he's another one who just seems to have, I thought at points he looked like he wanted to play the square pass and he almost didn't want to go over the halfway line, but it's obviously not the case anymore. What have you made of Mason, Emma?
I think he's probably been equally as not as important as Canale on the other side. I think you know, playing Todorov, one of the frustrations I had was that if you're going to play him, you need a player that's going to get down the wings and put crosses into the box. Otherwise, I was a bit like, well, what's the point? you know, because I think that's where his strength is, you know, getting, as we've seen, you know, if you get crosses in. And I like the style of play, and I just absolutely, he'll live in memory forever now for absolutely winding up Raith Rovers at the end of that game by doing really not that much at all. in reflection,
I think
but,
he was just smiling.
I blew a couple of kisses, but you know, yeah. I think they give it out. You've got to take it. I'm thinking. I'm trying to remember who the player was. Was it Millen?
Ross Millen.
I think he's got Millen, a good reputation for being on the wind up. So very unusual that he couldn't take a little back, particularly when it wasn't aimed in his direction. But yeah, he'll always be a favourite, I think, for that and the chaos that followed.
And I hadn't realised that Ross Millen is son of Andy Millen, who I remember doing his best to wind up the main stand. I didn't know that until it came up in the group chat. Yeah. So, yeah, his dad was a wind-up merchant too. I think his dad's on the coaching staff at Morton. So, yeah, it was good to see some karma off his son getting sent off for losing the head. And probably cost his team quite a lot of the weekend as well, with them to lose another game.
He had pretty makeshift defence.
He's actually done quite well because he was released, and I think he ended up playing amateur at Queen's Park in the sense of, well, they were paying expenses to him then. So he's recovered from what was a bit of a decline in his early career. So all he seemed to do is big long crosses to the back post, mind you. So I don't mind somebody who gets a wee bit upset. I listened to the Raith Rovers podcast, which was quite fair about how that game had gone, and indeed said Airdrie were a better team throughout the game. And they weren't pleased with how Millen had behaved at the end of the game. So, yeah, his father was much more of a, what can I say, a hatchet man. He was a Jim Goodwin type guy. He's just a half gene too. I probably would have liked him right enough. Because I like that kind of player who gets stuck in. Dinosaur.
And shout out the Oh No 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 podcast is, I mean, their review of the match was really, really fair, really balanced, and gave Airdrie a lot of credit. So I enjoyed listening to that. So yeah, shout out to those guys. Far more balanced than I'm being right now. It is January, so the transfer window is open, but we've not seen the pen yet at all, and we're on the 17th. Let's assume that Meg was away. What do you think is likely? Are we going to see many signings, or are we going to have to try and dip into the loan market again? Fourth place feels like it maybe is one that we should be trying to go for, but I don't know how easy that is. Colin, what would you like to see before the window closes?
Yeah, well, I went for the 17th as there would be a pen appearing in the website, but I don't see us bringing him down. Loans, I can see us perhaps attempting to get a few guys in loan, but it does worry me a wee bit because the squad does need a degree of strengthening. But I don't know where these players are. That's the great difficulty. So I don't see MD coming in. But what would I know?
John, you any intel?
No intel, unfortunately, but I would like to bring in a couple of players, like you say, Colin. That fourth place spot's definitely up for grabs, I think. I think the top three, that's more or less sorted, and then probably just about everybody else could feel that they could go for fourth. So, but it's definitely there for the taking. In terms of who I'd like to see come in, I'd like to see another forward or wide player. Obviously, Todorov's came into a bit of form. Gabby's been, you know, as I was saying, he's been playing his part in terms of the pressing and playing high up the park. Gal, I'm still always back Gal to, you know, to finish off a chance out of anyone in this team. But I do think we could do, I think we could do with another forward there, because once you get past those three, our options are a bit light in terms of forwards and in terms of changing a game. Like, I think we noticed that at Fir Hill and Somerset Park. So another forward stroke winger would be a good addition, I think. I'd also like her, obviously, you know, Ferdice has done really well recently. Craig Watson's also done well in terms of the last few games. Like we've not conceded a goal from, well, we've not conceded many goals recently, actually, and we've not conceded many from open play, I think, since the Dunfermline game. So you have to credit for Dyson Watson for that. But I would like to see, I'd like to see a quicker centre half come in, ideally, because I think that's one way in which the defence has been exposed at times. Well, the Dunfermline game was a good example for of that. I thought we got exposed quite badly in terms of pace for the two goals, and maybe the Thistle game as well. So in an ideal world, a quicker centre half would be there as well. I suppose maybe if we keep Megwa, and then when Ballantyne's back, you can maybe put Hancock at centre half, and that might solve that. But in terms of in an ideal world, those would be the two positions that I would go for, and a proper sub goalkeeper as well.
Anything different for you, Emma?
No, not really. I mean, I think we all know up until this point, I think we all had a concern about the number of goals we were scoring. And, well, we've picked up the wins. We're still not scoring a lot of goals, and we're not scoring a lot kind of midfield to front. So I think if we could get somebody in there, perhaps into midfield, that could bring a few more goals. But, I mean, I've not even heard any half-baked just-for-fun rumours. It's been very quiet, and I think I had the 23rd on the OTL podcast. When's the pen coming out? Sweepstakes. So I'm keeping my fingers crossed. But you know, it's not just, I don't think, obviously Dundee United are hoovering up everybody within a 20-mile radius of Tannadice, I think. And I think Wraith and Thistle have added, and but I don't think there's been too much around us, but obviously a couple of those teams have change manager as well, so sometimes it's not all about who you bring in terms of on the park. You know, they've had that change of personnel, which can, if you look at Queen's Park, you know, bring a bit of a bounce as well. As that fourth, yeah, probably that's up for grabs based on that we're at the halfway point now. We've pretty much played everyone twice. I think we're more than capable of competing, certainly with the teams below us. We'll see Thistle in a couple of weeks' time and see how we shape up against them again. But I think it'll be a hard ask if we don't bring in a couple of people, and certainly if we're not able to keep a hold of Canio either.
Yeah, it's just worries for injury for me. So, like, if what happened if Ferdice got injured, then suddenly the back four, well, if ATS is back, then you hope that he can fill in. But what if his niggles aren't clear? But we've not got a lot there. So it would be nice to see a bit more cover.
We've already seen, you know, the difference, you know, in terms of missing Ballantyne and Aiken. Like, they've definitely been losses, even with our recent results. We are missing them. And yeah, as we're saying, the bench is a bit light. Like, you know, you've still got, you know, guys like Joe Cassidy and Dunlop and Rowley and people like that. Like, no harm to them. I'm sure they're talented, but you don't really want to have to rely on them to pick up results, because, yeah, we are maybe only an injury or two away from, well, Cassidy potentially having to come on, and we brought Dunlop on a couple of times and we're chasing a goal, and like I say, I'm sure he's talented and he's got a place in the squad, but that's not really ideal for this league. So yeah, hopefully a couple of players coming in to even just give a bit more depth would be nice.
I think I heard a whisper late December, or maybe it was a fever dream of Justin Devaney potentially coming in on loan. I mean, I think it would have happened by now if it was lined up. But like you see, maybe a slight worry that midfield hasn't chipped in with too many goals. If we play as controlled as we did in the last two games, doesn't matter, because 1-0 is fine. But where we get behind, maybe having a bit of chaos factor in the midfield and somebody that could burst forward and take a shot would just give us, well, give other teams something else to worry about rather than just being able to sit in. So yeah, we'll wait and see, but no news yet. And I don't know of any that, yeah, I've not heard any whispers other than that one, which didn't come to anything. Okay, right, so window's still open for a bit yet. Moving on to my next item, Deep End Park. So Airdrie were supposed to play on Saturday, exactly. There's a Dunfermline fan at my work, and I was talking to him yesterday. He thinks I'm a tinfoil hat wearer, but all seemed very, very slick on Saturday morning to me. I've got so many questions in my head. Like, they're playing Queen's Park this Saturday because it got cancelled a few weeks ago when there was snow on the pitch. So they obviously didn't have the under soil heating on for that match where it could have been saved. The under soil heating's apparently failed on a game when there was no need for it to be on. Dunfermline Fan at Work was suggesting to me it maybe wasn't on at all. The suspected failure wording in their own comms makes me interested in why they're not just saying it's a failure if they've got a big hole in the ground. The picture of the big hole in the ground perks my interest because
I've got a bigger hole in my back garden.
Well, as I understand it, Colin, the pipes for under soil heating are like 30 centimetres deep. So, and between that, there's like loads of layers of gravel and stuff, and then your turf on top of it. So if this water was high enough pressure to burst through all that, I would expect there to be like gravel strewn all over the place, and for the hole to be kind of burst out the way. Yet we've got
expect the ground around it to be wet.
Yes. Yeah, as the pressure eased off in that pipe, it would be full of water. And yet there is no water, there's no gravel. And the hole's very neat, as if it's been cut by a spade. The pictures of the water line on the pitch. I've seen the water that comes out the radiators in my house. It's brown, it's manky. This stuff's been in an undersoil heating system for 20-odd years. And yet it's so clear I'm expecting Sebastian from The Little Mermaid to be singing Under the Sea at the bottom of it. I mean, I don't know anything about undersoil heating. I do have a lot of questions that I think should be able to be answered. And I do wonder whether, even if something real did happen, were Dunfermline really that keen to get the game back on, given their own injury crisis and terrible form? But what do you reckon? Am I just too obsessive of a football fan where I'm desperate to see bad in the other team, or are you as suspicious as I am? Any volunteers to go first? I should say allegedly at the end of that, just in case they come for me.
I did have a kind of air of that Jeremy Clarkson, you know, oh no, anyway, about it from Dunfermline. Popping the tinfoil hat on certainly amused us and passed a few hours on an otherwise boring Saturday. But yeah, it did seem a bit strange for the system to be on at all for what wasn't freezing temperatures. As you say, when a couple of weeks before that they hadn't switched it on for the Queen's Park game. So it was a bit strange. And I think we had been obviously joking all week about, I think we were checking all our weather apps daily to look at the temperatures because we were trying to figure out 101 reasons how Dunfermline are going to have this game called off. So I think when it actually happened, we just got a bit silly, didn't we, with it?
The early communication seemed so bizarre. I thought, I mean, was it the chairman who had the prepared statement by about 10 minutes to 9? It probably wasn't that.
I think that they said they arrived at 8 and then that came out at 9:30, I think. The referee got to the ground, obviously, at 10 to put the game off.
I know that Mrs. Thatcher shot one of the mines in the Fife. I thought they were reopening them. But that's where that hole in the ground was. They were reopening a coal mine.
Again, I know nothing about these systems, but I would have thought if you lose that much pressure that quickly, you'd maybe like have an auto shut off that would have stopped it being as bad as that. I would have thought that water would have some sort of chemical in it to try and stop the water from getting blocked and freezing, that might be bad for the pitch, but they didn't seem that bothered about leaving it on in time for the inspection or to take some nice photos to put up on their Twitter feed. Again, all sorts of things that I know very little about, but...
Where's the fun in being educated?
Yes, I agree with that. But it was really annoying. I hate a Saturday. I mean, it's bad enough having to play during the week, but I hate it. Missing a game on a Saturday, except on a holiday, of course. They were at it. I hope we thumped them.
Yeah, me too. And I think that the thing is, we're on such good form and the mood so high that, and with them being on bad form and with them having beaten us or us failing to beat them so many times, it did feel like it was a big chance. So, Sean, were you ready to travel? You were very disappointed when the news came through in such an organised fashion so early in the morning?
My brother and I, we were heading through, we were planning to make a day of it with our friends from Edinburgh who also like Airdrie. So we'd actually just left the house when the tweet came up for the 10 a.m. pitch inspection. So we took a chance, went into town, just in case it was going to be on. But as soon as I saw there was a pitch inspection, I knew it was going to be off, and then it was. So we hastily changed plans, went to see Pollock, Glen Afton instead, which was a good day out, and quite similar to Airdrie Dunfermline, and that there was a team in black and white against a team in red. I think Frizzle's brother was playing for Glen Afton, the team in red, and also there was a goalie who handled the ball outside his box, so very similar to recent Airdrie Dunfermline games, other than the team in red winning. But like we say, hopefully that'll change the next time.
It'd be a good omen.
Hopefully.
Yeah. Any other thoughts before we move on from the
They're not meant to be playing Queen's Park at home on Saturday, so I'm really looking forward to seeing what the Undersoil Heating does this weekend.
They said it, and we'll give updates on the state of the pitch, and there's been nothing since. And the next thing's a preview of the game on Saturday, so feels like it maybe wasn't that bad after all.
I'm kind of annoyed because it's me backing my cash gate or even paying by card when you get to the game. This nonsense that you have to buy a ticket. And then Dunfermline announced that if you go to their office in the lead up to the game, even as close as 2:45, you can purchase a ticket. And yet, I don't know about the communication from their club. I hate this nonsense that you have to buy a ticket, especially for a seat that apparently has a number on it, but everybody just ignores it. The sooner we get back to cash or card, entrance at the game. Yeah. I'm not saying it has to be cash, because a lot of people apparently they only use their phones. I can't understand that. I can hardly phone my dentist, and these folk pay money. I don't understand it. So yeah. I wish they'd get that sorted out.
I was really annoyed because I bought my ticket at 9:05 before the half nine. I was thinking to myself, should they really have been selling tickets that morning if they knew walking into the ground that they had major problems?
You had a refund yet?
I'm assuming that if this game is a midweek one and I can't go to it, I do this thing of trying to get my money back.
Refunded.
If I don't, I'll be getting up there and defunding them. sorry, I wasn't swearing.
I don't know. Take £15 worth of turf or something, I don't know, Colin. There must be some way to get your money
back.
There's
a hole in it somewhere, they don't need that bit.
Okay, so next up then is Craig Levein's St Johnston coming to Airdrie on Saturday. The Scottish Cup, the club's been tweeting today, 100 years on from our biggest victory when the Cup came to Airdrie in 1924. So if we're going to keep the dream alive of being able to have a mark the centenary with another victory, Saturday's game is all important. I know nothing about St Johnstone, so can any of they help fill me in as to what we should be expecting? We've touched on before, when the draw was made, they were in awful form, they've picked up a bit, we were in awful form, we're now in good form, and they've been away for 2 weeks, so I don't even know how to unpick that. Sean, you any idea what we should be expecting on Saturday?
I don't know too much about St Johnstone. I know that their keeper's meant to be very good. I believe he's a Bulgarian international, and he's also friends with Todorov. So that could be an interesting collision, I guess. Yeah, so he's meant to be very good. Certainly from what I hear from other podcasts or fans, he's regarded as one of the best goalies in the league. So that'll be a challenge for us. I think they've made a couple of signings, but nobody that I'm familiar with. I think they signed an Israeli player, but he's not played for, he's one of those guys who was a free agent, so he's not played for a few months, so I'm not sure if he'll even play. And then I think they've maybe signed one or two other players, but again, really don't know a lot about them. Obviously, they've got Stevie May up front. I'm not sure how good he is these days, but obviously he's playing in the Premiership, so he is playing at a higher level than what we usually play against. So there's definitely talented players in there. I don't know if Nicky Clark's injured or fit. I know he's been struggling with injuries, but again, he's a good player on his day. So there is talented players. There is talented players in that team, but I think it is a game that it's definitely a game that's winnable, and it's a good chance for us to get through into the next round. Obviously, our cup record against Premiership teams at home in the last few years has been quite good. I know, but you know, we beat Dundee, beat St Mirren, beat Motherwell, took Ross County to extra time as well. And I know that's the League Cup, so it's a bit different in terms of maybe how seriously teams take it or how good the teams are at that stage of the season. But it does bode well, I think. In Ross County, they're obviously, you know, they're in a similar position. Well, they're certainly, yeah, I think they're in a similar position to St Johnstone anyway in terms of the league table. So that might be a good comparator to what we're up against. So I think it'll be tough. I'm not expecting a result, but I'm reasonably hopeful. It's a game that I think we've definitely got a chance in, and yeah, we should go for it. And yeah, and hopefully the boys from Shitey Lane will get another cup victory this year. My uncle from Sweden and my cousin, they're also coming over for the game. So hopefully that'll be nice for them. Looking forward to it.
Bring some luck from Scandinavia, hopefully. Emma, I heard you on BBC Sports Sound on Saturday night saying you were quietly confident. So has that changed at all since you were on the radio?
No, absolutely not. You know, yeah, okay, we're the underdogs, but we're at home. We've been in a bit of form. We're playing with a bit more confidence. I don't know too much. I think we've also not really been following St Johnstone's fortunes this season too closely. I do work with a few St Johnstone fans, and was out working with some of them just back in November, I think, before Levine came in, and they were kind of bemoaning their season so far. I don't think there's any reason for us to have anything to fear. Obviously, we just said they've had a couple of weeks off, so let's just let's just come out the traps on Saturday and go for it. I'm not quietly confident, I think, because there's always a cup upset, so why not us?
Colin, we started this podcast and you were well rested after a nice break. The St John's players have had a break. Will that mean that they are raring to go and mega fit, or will it mean that we might catch them a bit rusty?
The one player I know who's quite a good player is Graham Carey, who's got a very good left foot. I know very little about them either. Fine Bovril, St Johnstone fans have been very quiet. There's hardly been a comment about the game, so I don't think it matters to their fans. And it doesn't look as if there'll be much of a crowd coming down in their tractors. So it's a home game, good form, could get them by surprise. I think they might be quite physically able. They might be strong. Stephen May was always a very good forward, really annoying. I can remember people berating them constantly at games. So, could be. I think the last time we played St Johnstone was the one where the league had finished and we ended up playing them on a Monday night or something when all the young boys came in. I can't remember the last time we played them. I know it was a classic game at Perth where Stevie Gray scored an absolutely wonderful goal. Then we get beat. So I'm hoping for the reverse of that somehow they score a wonderful goal, but we beat them. I think it's winnable, but quite honestly, in some ways, I know it's 2024, I don't really care about the cup. I want to survive in this league, so that at least we're with a season and a year that's been wonderful. The cup's a bonus. It would be good to get through and then draw some wee daddy team for a change, but
and get punted out by a wee daddy team. That'd be us.
Did Kelty Hearts beat St Johnstone the year after they won the cup? Was it Kelty Hearts? I think it was.
That's
right. That's a good point though, because I do think where we probably struggled in the league sometimes and where I've probably been frustrated sometimes is when we've come up against physical teams. Because that's not our game, and it's not how we've built our squad.
Does it go to replays?
I'm not sure, Colin.
I didn't last season against Dundee, so I'm not sure if that's I don't know if that's still the case. But obviously, well, it didn't last season. But
that game,
I was an earlier stage, so it could be different.
Yeah, it could be.
Not sure. St Johnstone's a funny team. So growing up watching Doddy's Diamonds, we had this brilliant record against Hearts and Hibs, but St Johnstone seemed to be a team that we could never beat. And then in the early days of Airdrie United, suddenly we seemed to have quite a good record against them. I remember Jason Scotland making his debut for St Johnstone, scoring a screamer at the stadium, but we still came back and won the game. And the first game when we'd won the second division, as it was, beating them on Flag Day. So we've had a bit more luck against them in recent years, albeit we've not really played them for a very long time. I think Stevie May, there was rumours he might end up at Queen's Park, but I don't know if he's even getting a game at the moment. I think he might have fallen out of favour. Equally, I remember of they calling him a donkey and him scoring a hat trick for Aki's against us, Colin. So
yes.
Who knows what to expect. But I'm not without hope. Like an Arsenal turf pitch, which they won't be that used to. Our boys on good form. Hopefully they are ring rusty and we can get off to a good start and then just control the game like we have in the last two would do me fine, but we'll wait and see.
2 minutes in sports scene, that's what we'll get.
2 minutes.
I think they're quite a low scoring team, if I'm not mistaken. Certainly they have been the last few years anyway. So if we can keep our shape and defend like we have recently, then I think we do have a chance. Because I don't think they're particularly high scorers or prolific in that sense. So fingers crossed that we do keep our shape. Obviously, we are not high scorers ourselves, it has to be said.
A 0-0 draw to the death.
So yeah, it could well be a 0-0 draw in extra time and
wait for penalties. We've seen the last two penalty shootouts we've been in.
Exactly.
Part of the bus from the start. We'll wait and see. It's a long time since we've had any kind of run in the Scottish Cup. So I would love it. It'd be great if we could. And Emma, you said on the radio, it does feel like a long time since we've had a home draw in a game like this. Because it's been away to Tynecastle, we've been away to Parkhead, even last year away to Dens Park. So maybe if we can make home advantage count, that'd be a good thing to see. Right, anything else before we wrap up, guys? Anything we've not touched on?
Wrap up well for Saturday, I think. I don't think the game's in any doubt, just in case some St Johnstone fans think we want to put it off or anything. I think it should be okay.
If there's a suspected failure of Airdrie's undercell heating system, we'll know that they're at it. But they're not.
I'm assuming they've got covers down, but Celtic B play there on Friday night.
I think the thing with Ashley Turf is it kind of really freezes. So I saw somebody suggesting that it's good to minus 20. And it would only be if you have a heavy snowfall on it that it can be a problem. So fingers crossed.
I'm sure we've seen it off before for ice. It can ice. But I don't know what game it was, but I'm sure we've seen games called off on Astro for ice.
There was ice in the particular corner. There was, yeah.
I think you can possibly even salt it, though. It's one of the things with Astro, because you can't do that in grass because it would kill it, but I think there's maybe even certain salt that you could use to try and keep the game on as well. So maybe there'll be a call on Saturday morning, then they can come down with a salt shaker and we'll see if we can get the whole pitch covered.
If they're coming down the tractors, they can clear it.
Yeah, I do hope that 2024 does have the vibes of 1924. There were lots of replays, as far as I am told. I don't remember, obviously, in that cup run. I think there were something like three replays of one game.
I looked at this recently. We in those days, there was not only was there replays. There was no such thing as penalty shootouts, so if the game finished in a tie, you replayed and you replayed and you replayed.
Yeah,
I think one of the ties was maybe five, Colin. But oof. We'll see if we follow the new Twitter account that the club's launched. We will be able to track that and find out. But I think from memory, there's something daft like.
Well, I mean, I've got the 1920s book, so. I'll maybe look it up tonight.
I think I could be wrong, but they replayed the game so many times that we won it, and then the next round was the next day, something daft like that. So, yeah, it really was a different age.
Sounds good, actually.
It may have been St Mirren. St Mirren or Morton.
But... I'm going to put my bet on Ayr at home with something like five replays. But, well, yeah, I could be wrong. Have been many times before on this podcast.
I'm looking forward to any events or kits or any sort of celebrations that they do for the centenary. Like, it's a really special event, and it is something that the club and the town should be celebrating. So hopefully we do make a big deal of it.
Ah, win the cup again, Sean. What else could
absolutely,
we win?
Absolutely, exactly.
And qualify for Europe.
Exactly.
I could maybe go to this time, you know, because being a retired man, if we're drawn away, I could actually go and see Airdrie in Europe. That'd be great.
We're all just getting greedy now, aren't we? Success is going to our heads.
Yep.
Yeah, well hopefully, yeah, we're not, fingers crossed it still is joyous when we're next on. But yeah, good luck to the team for Saturday. 2024, names on the cup, so go out and do it. And yeah, hopefully see you all at the game.
Okay, cheers.
Bye.
Bye.